morning and welcome to Redeemer Lutheran Church. We're glad you're here and hope that you will join us every Sunday for our worship. A couple of announcements for you. One is to express a great thank you and appreciation to all of you who came and had your pictures made. We finished up all the photography for our pictorial directory that started back in March, you may remember. It's not that we had that many people to picture or take pictures of, but we were stopped by the pandemic, and the photographers actually told me this was their first day back when they came back for this activity. And everything was very socially distant and very clean, and never a large crowd here at all. Most families were here alone most of the time, so with the photographers. So that worked out really well. Also want to let you know that I'm beginning a new thing this week. All our regular Zoom and online activities will continue. Don't forget about our midweek Vespers, by the way, at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. But I have another opportunity on Wednesdays that I'm beginning this week, and it's going to be at noon on Wednesday. And since it's at noon, some people might choose to bring their lunch and have this discussion over lunch, so I'm calling it Something to Chew On. So that's going to be what it is, and it's a chance to get onto Zoom, and I'll have a topic, and we'll just kick it around and talk about it a little bit as you desire. So I invite you Wednesdays at noon to come chew on something with me. All right, Amanda.
Well, Pastor Gary, you're not the only one with something new going on.
I'm not.
You're not.
Oh, wow.
You're not. So on Monday evenings, I'm starting bedtime Bible stories.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they're targeted towards our youngest ones, but, you know, they're for children and those that are children at heart. So we'll be reading through a children's Bible, and we'll also pray and bless one another. So that's on Monday evenings. But it's on Facebook Live, so you can watch it anytime. Some other things that are going on, we still have three outreach projects that are happening. We are collecting school supplies for Williamsburg and also sharing God's love. We're also working on our hospital care packages. And did you know that we have done 179 of those?
The hospital bags?
The hospital bags. 179. We're now partnering with Seven Oaks Presbyterian across the street, and I hear some other churches might join in as well. So that's really exciting. We also have the blessing box that continues to be used, and we looked in it this morning, and it's a little sparse again, which means it's blessing a lot of people, which is really important during these times. So we invite you to participate in those outreach activities. One last thing, for youth and families with youth and young adults, I do have a survey out just trying to plan for youth ministry and children's ministry for the fall. So if you take that survey, it would help me out so much. Those are all my announcements, unless I forgot something.
I can't think of anything else.
Anything else? Oh, there's so much going on. It's very exciting.
All right, let us prepare for our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us now live in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace brought and for us salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear. And preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So we have a children's sermon for today, and I have two solo cups, and I have a string in between them, and it's hard to do this by ourselves, so I'm going to ask if Pastor Gary, would you come join me? Would you help me out? I'm going to give you this one. There we go. You have to back up a little bit. Yeah, there we go. Make it tight. All right, so Pastor Gary, he's going to give me a message in the solo cup. Really? Okay, well, but, okay, so the message was Jesus loves me. But what do I do with that, Pastor Gary? Okay, so I have this message that Jesus loves me. And if Jesus loves me, then I'm supposed to share that with other people? Oh, I guess so. All right, so I'm supposed to share that with other people. And so thank you, Pastor Gary, for helping me with that. Pastor Gary's going to read us a story in a little bit about how Jesus was talking with one of his friends. Now, they didn't use red solo cups and string. That's just what Pastor Gary and I decided to use. But the disciple, Jesus' friend, was talking to Jesus. And Jesus was giving him a message to come towards him, but it was on the water and outside of a boat, and that was kind of scary a little bit. But he walked out there, and he was listening to Jesus, and Jesus was there. And so when the disciple, the friend of Jesus, was listening to Jesus, Jesus was telling him what he needed to do. And I think when we listen to Jesus, then we have things that sometimes we need to do too. Just like Pastor Gary was telling me that Jesus loves me. That's really big stuff. And if Jesus loves me, then Jesus loves Pastor Gary and Jim and Janet and Judy and Mike and everybody, all of our choral scholars and everyone. So that's important for me to share. So when we have those messages from Jesus, we have something to do with them. We have something to share with other people. Let's pray together, could we? Dear God, we thank you for all the ways that you give us messages. From parents, from teachers, from pastors, from organists, from Sunday school teachers, from all the people that we learn from about you. And help us listen, and help us to share those messages with other people. It's in your name we pray. All God's children said, Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Kings. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your peoples, your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord. And to God. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Then they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. a mature-looking lady, had an appointment with a marriage counselor and told him flat out, "I would like to divorce my husband." To this, the counselor replied, "Well, do you have any grounds?" She answered, "Why, yes, we have about 3 acres. The puzzled counselor asked her, "You don't understand. What I want to know is whether you and your husband have a grudge." The lady answered, "Actually, we don't, but we do have a nice little carport." At this, the counselor shook his head and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I just don't see any reason why you should divorce your husband." The lady looked at the counselor and said to him, "It's just that the man can't carry on an intelligent conversation." Sorry about that one. Believe it or not, I had 3 other jokes that were worse. But this joke makes the point that sometimes we hear things in strange ways, sometimes in ways different from what was intended. And then there are other times when you can say the same thing over again in a different way and make a different point. As I read our Old Testament reading for today, I noticed something for the first time. I've read and worked with this passage numerous times, but I had never noticed this before. In this story of Elijah on the mountain, God asks him the same question twice. But just like we've seen, I think he asks it different ways. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God asks at the beginning of the story. Now, here is Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, the place where God's presence had been revealed to the Israelites over and over as Moses led them. And Elijah had good reasons for being there. He was the prophet of God in Israel, and he was discouraged. It seemed to him that he was the only believer left. No matter what he said, no matter what he did, it seemed to him that everyone else had abandoned God. It seemed to him that the king and all the people had chosen to worship Baal and to reject God. The queen had even vowed to kill him and get his troubling words out of the way. And so Elijah had fled. He had run all the way to the mountain of God, and there God does indeed speak to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God asks. And I hear God speaking words of tenderness and understanding, words of care and compassion. God knows that Elijah is dejected and demoralized. God knows that Elijah is at the end of his rope. God knows that Elijah needs comfort, assurance, and new strength. And so Elijah spells out his hurt and despair and isolation before God. And in compassion and in love, God answers. I think that's not too unlike our situation today. Faced with a virus and a pandemic that we can't see the ending of anytime soon, isolated away from family and friends and life as we once knew it, we are worn down and worn out. And when you add to it all the other worries of our lives, our normal financial pressures, perhaps even the loss of income right now, family troubles and more, it's not hard to understand wanting to flee to a cave like Elijah did. And so Elijah had fled. We are hurt and despairing and isolated, and we need God. We need God's comfort assurance, and strength. And that's what Elijah got. I'm going to pass by now, God says, giving Elijah hope and vision and strength and renewal by God's presence there. God does pass by, but not in wind or fire or earthquake. Our lives are already full of that kind of thing. But in the sheer silence, God is there. It's a pregnant, powerful, awesome silence of knowing that God is grander than all this other, that God is almighty and all we need. And like that, we too can go to God in the midst of the troubles and problems of our lives. We can turn to God in prayer. And God says to us, "What are you doing here?" And like Elijah, our hearts answer, "I need you, God." And God is there with help, with hope, with comfort and strength and renewal and compassion and grace and love, being all we need. "What are you doing here?" God asks the first time, full of tenderness for one of God's children in need, just like God is with us. Then, after God has been present with Elijah, once Elijah is renewed in faith and strength, God asks the question again. But this time I think it's asked differently. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God says, almost as if to say, "Isn't there someplace else you should be?" You see, once Elijah has been renewed and strengthened, once he's seen God and his faith is reignited and reinvigorated, then it's time to get on about the mission for which God sends him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God says, implying that he should leave his worries to God and get back to the work proclaiming God and serving God in all things. And just like that, God spelled out the rhythm of our lives. We come to worship weary and worn out, but then renewed, fed, and strengthened. Then we are sent out into the world again to proclaim and to serve. At the end of our worship each week, I challenge you to go in peace and serve the Lord. Maybe today I should simply say, "What are you doing here?" Now your place is out there. What are you doing here? Oh God, we have come for comfort and help, for renewal, for hope, for strength, and for love. What are you doing here? Oh God, you have fed us and strengthened us. Send us now in your name. Amen.
gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of salvation, as we walk the waves of our lives, help us to keep our eyes ever on you. Increase our trust, strengthen our faith, save us when we fail, embolden us in faith and action. Remind us that we are yours and that nothing, no storm of our lives can separate us from your love. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we spend our lives struggling to discern what you have to do with us. So often we fight your urgings and fail to follow your way. Cast out the evil natures within us, O Lord, and invite us to walk with you in new, open, redeeming ways. Open our eyes to live in understanding and compassion, especially when it is difficult for us. May we see you in all people and reach out in your peace. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, you have given us mercy. Help us to give mercy to others. Open our hearts to bear one another's burdens, living and giving Christ's word of peace to all your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of gentleness, we pray for the sick, the sorrowed, those frightened or alone, asking that you might scatter your grace upon them. Be with any in need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, you have called us and comforted us. You have fed us and strengthened us. Now, O God, empower us and send us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all, through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. In peace. Serve the Lord.